Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're beginning another week of Fire on the Earth, a program dedicated to the promotion of Catholic mission and evangelization. I hope you had a wonderful and a restful weekend. I want to talk a little bit today and maybe tomorrow about some of the work the recent popes have done for us in reading the signs of the times and helping us understand what the Spirit is saying to the Church. We are living in turbulent times, times of great change. Pope Francis called it a time of the change of the ages. The change is so dramatic. St. John Paul II spent a great deal of time talking about what was happening spiritually in the world and helping the faithful understand how to respond to it and how to cooperate with the work of the Holy Spirit in the context of that change. Ralph Martin wrote a very popular booklet a few years ago called The Final Confrontation, which you can still get at our website at renewalministries.net. And in it, he used a quote from St. John Paul II that Archbishop Vigano, who was a nuncio to the United States, to the Bishops' Conference in the U.S., had read just a few years ago to all the bishops of the U.S. And it went something like this. The Holy Father said, "We're now entering the final confrontation between the gospel and the anti-gospel, between the church and the anti-church, between Christ and the antichrist." And he said, "This battle lies within the plans of divine providence, and that the whole church now is called to enter into this conflict." He also mentioned that he believed that wide circles of American society didn't see the depth of what was unfolding all around us, a great spiritual conflict. Pope Benedict XVI, as many of you know who've listened to the program, I've mentioned it many times over the years, talked about it this way. He said, "In our days, in vast areas of the world, the faith is in danger of dying out like a flame which no longer has fuel." He said, "The overriding priority is to make God present in this world and to show men and women the way back to God. Not just any God, but the God who spoke on Sinai, to that God whose face we recognize in a love which presses to the end, in Jesus Christ crucified and risen." He said, "The real problem at this moment in our history is that God is disappearing from the human horizon. And with the dimming of the light which comes from God, humanity is losing its bearings, with increasingly evident and destructive effects." So he's recognizing the reality that the faith in many parts of the world is declining. And he's trying to explain why it's happening. So the real problem, what's at the center of it all, and the dramatic cultural change and the change that's happening, much of it in society today, beginning to resist the influence of the church and really to try to silence the voice of God. He said humanity is pushing God from the human horizon. Man wants to be at the center of his own horizon, not God. And the light which comes from God, and what he means is God's revelation, helping us understand who we are, where we've come from, why we're here, who's God, what is human life, how can we find human happiness? Of course, perfectly revealed in the life of Jesus, and most poignantly and powerfully revealed in his death on the cross, when he showed each one of us that the core, the fundamental meaning of life and the road to happiness and complete fulfillment is found in a radical abandonment of our lives to our loving Father, to God, to surrendering ourselves to him with deep humility and faith and radically pursuing his will in living a life of obedience, obedience to God. Of course, our culture sees that as self-limiting or somehow as an obstacle to finding who we are and living in freedom and pursuing our own happiness. And so to walk the path Jesus walked is to recognize that our origin, our purpose, our identity, and our destiny comes from God. It's not something we design. It's not something we achieve on our own, but it's something we receive. God made us. He made us in a particular way. Male and female, he made us. He created family. Every single human being has infinite dignity because we are made in the image and likeness of God. And man's destiny and his fulfillment is tied up directly in receiving that identity and living it with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, loving God, loving our neighbor, extending God's kingdom in the world. That vision of reality, which Pope Benedict XVI calls light, the light which comes from God, is disappearing. We're losing hold of it. We're losing sight of that story and that call. And he said, as a result, darkness has begun to set into the human mind. Darkness meaning man is losing touch with who he is, his own reality. And so he describes it here. He said, man is losing his bearings with increasingly evident and destructive effects. I think some of the rash of suicides and the rise of suicide that's emerging in our country, even among some of the cultural elite, is kind of has a shocking effect. People don't understand why it's happening, but they're disturbed by it. One of the reasons it's happening is what the popes are showing us as they begin to open up for us what's happening in our society, what's happening in our culture, what's going on spiritually. Recently, my wife Debbie and I and good friends Bruce and Julia Rook were in Slovakia and Poland working with some dynamic Catholic communities in those countries and gave some retreats and other things. But while we were there, we spent some time in Krakow, Poland, and visited the St. John Paul Cultural Center. Beautiful, big structure, which is just filled with the whole story of St. John Paul II's life. And it was wonderful to walk through that life again and just to remember him and remember his leadership and his clarity and the warrior that he was and the joyful leader, but so powerfully gifted, a very prophetic man, maybe one of the most anointed men to come along in hundreds of years. What he did for the church and for society is profound and powerful, but I was walking at one point into the primary sanctuary of the facility. And I hadn't done a lot of homework as to what was all there. I just wanted to kind of discover it as I was making my way through it. As I came in the sanctuary, I saw a little crowd over to the corner to the right of me, and there was a cassock, St. John Paul's cassock, a white cassock, encased in glass. And I couldn't see the whole thing, so I went over to it, and I noticed as I got closer, people were kneeling and praying that the cassock was covered in blood. The lower part of the cassock was stained with the blood of St. John Paul II. And it's the cassock he wore when he was shot in Vatican Square and almost lost his life. So I knelt down and I began to pray and was deeply moved by his heroic witness. He was a real disciple who walked in the footsteps of Jesus. Jesus said, "The servant is not greater than his master," that those who follow him, who identify with him, would experience tribulation and trial in their lives. He said, "In this world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, for I've overcome the world." He said, "If you're going to follow me, the world's going to hate you, just as the world hated me." And the enemy sought to stop St. John Paul II in the ministry that God had given him. Right about the time we were there at the Cultural Center, Ireland was casting its vote, the first nation in history to legalize abortion by popular vote. It wasn't done by the courts, just a small group of people or the cultural elite, but by a majority within the country to overturn its own constitution and to begin to accept abortion for the first time, legalizing it. And I remember the images I saw of so many people dancing in the streets and celebrating the right to kill babies. The contrast for me between St. John Paul II and thinking of what Pope Benedict XVI said about what's unfolding in our culture today, that the will, the humanity in its darkened mind is pushing God from the human horizon. And not long after that, I was talking to a friend, Vernon Robertson. He reminded me of a talk John Paul II gave in 1979 in Ireland, in the city of Limerick. And he suggested I look it up, and I did, and I wanted to read a little bit of it to you today just to see in context, to put in context what that vote in Ireland represented and what St. John Paul II understood about the spiritual battle that Ireland had entered into, really an unprecedented spiritual battle. Here's what he said. "The lay people today are called to a strong Christian commitment to permeate society with the leaven of the gospel, for Ireland is at a point of decision in her history. The Irish people have to choose today their way forward. Yes, Ireland must choose. You, the present generation of Irish people, must decide. Your choice must be clear and your decision firm. Let the voice of your forefathers who suffered so much to maintain their faith in Christ and thus to preserve Ireland's soul, let it resound today in your ears through the voice of the Pope when he repeats the words of Christ. What will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? What would it profit Ireland to go the easy way of the world and to suffer the loss of her own soul? Your country seems, in a sense, to be living again the temptations of Christ. Ireland is being asked to prefer the kingdoms of the world and their splendor to the kingdom of God. Satan, the tempter, the adversary of Christ, will use all his might and all his deceptions to win Ireland for the way of the world. What a victory he would gain! What a blow he would inflict on the body of Christ in the world if he could seduce Irish men and women away from Christ. Now is the time of testing for Ireland. This generation is once more a generation of decision. Dear sons and daughters of Ireland, pray, pray, not to be led into temptation. I asked in my first encyclical for a great, intense, and growing prayer for all the church. I ask you today for a great, intense, and growing prayer for all the people of Ireland, for the church in Ireland, for all the church which owes so much to Ireland. Pray that Ireland may not fail the test. Pray as Jesus taught us to pray. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And may Ireland never weaken in her witness before Europe and before the whole world to the dignity and the sacredness of all human life from conception until natural death. That was in 1979. And in 2018, Ireland lost that battle. Ireland failed. Her decision was to follow in the footsteps of what Pope Benedict said is happening around vast areas of the world today, where the faith is in danger of dying out like a flame which no longer has fuel. And Ireland too, a majority of people in Ireland were consciously cast their vote to push God from the human horizon, to articulate their freedom as a freedom that must be a freedom that somehow is apart from God and denies these fundamental realities that St. John Paul II spoke to them so powerfully. When I read this, I just felt a kind of chilling sense of the fear of the Lord, because this is John Paul's visit was so clearly the visit of a prophet sent by God who outlined for Ireland the reality of the spiritual battle and what was at stake. And he said, now is a time of decision. What will it be for you? And friends, when we fail to hear the words of the prophet, only the judgment of God remains. I want to talk about this more tomorrow. God bless you. Have a great day.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you a new booklet called Transform Your Marriage by Randall Serner. Recently, Pope Francis said the whole world is at war trying to destroy marriage. Marriage is a battleground today, but God has made marriage to be a blessing. And this little booklet contains wisdom that will bring life and joy and healing to your marriage. If you'd like a free copy of Transform Your Marriage, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to our website at renewalministries.net/FOE. You can also listen to past episodes or subscribe to our podcast.